Now that the game is done, it's our time to check in.
Anthony drives down the lane. Circus shot off the window and good. He's done it again. Cole Anthony. He is playing Superman role off the bench tonight.
Bucks talk starts now.
Now Anthony finds Trent. Corner three ball. Bullseye. Gary Trent Jr. delivers.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios, here's Justin Garcia.
All right, well, I don't want to underscore a 30-point, 20-rebound game from Giannis, but this is the Cole Anthony game, at least so far, for the Bucks. 23 points off the bench from Anthony. He hit some big shots, made some big plays down the stretch. That setup, if you listen to the network postgame, our play of the game, the Gary Trent Jr. three-pointer, it was set up by Cole Anthony's patience, his drive, and decision-making. He did a tremendous job of creating offense, getting to the free throw lane, getting his shots, creating for others as well. And they needed it with no Kevin Porter Jr. because you got the sense watching this one, the pace it was played at, the aggression as well, the physicality, that this would have been a pretty big opportunity for Kevin Porter Jr. and his style of play. But you get a big game from Cole Anthony and a huge game from Giannis. And this is a good win. You may look at the Raptors' record last season and say, well, this team that missed the playoffs, how big can this really be? It's a Raptors team that has heightened expectations this season. They were a much different team the post-All-Star break, back half of the season. They won 14 of their final 27 games and were kind of building for this, to be a better version of themselves this season. A big part of that is a player we did not see in any of the matchups a season ago, Brandon Ingram, who had a good game for the Raptors. So the expectations are there in Toronto. It's a Raptors team that a lot of people picked to finish ahead of the Bucks. Strong win for the Bucks to start this brief two-game road trip. And look, if you can get both of them, especially considering who that second game is against, that would be an excellent start to the season for this Bucks team. 855-616-1620 is the Siding Unlimited WTMJ Talk and Text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Strong start to the season for this team. It was a game Wednesday night. We spent a lot of time talking about Chris Middleton, and rightfully so, but that was a game you expected to win. Not only the type of team the Wizards were a season ago, the team they are this year as well, with the number of young players, second year, 21 years and younger players that they have on that team, they are clearly playing for down the road. There's some other things going into it as well, with a top four protected pick where the Wizards basically need to make sure they finish in the bottom five. So there's a non-zero chance that they give up that pick. Or keep that pick, I should say. You know what the expectations are for the Wizards team. So you expected to win that game. You wanted things to look good. You wanted Chris Middleton to look good. You wanted to welcome him back to Milwaukee. But it wasn't really a barometer game other than let's see how fast this Bucks team, how athletic is this Bucks team? How much are they getting up and down the floor? You saw pieces of that. You got the win. Now this next chunk of schedule, tonight, Sunday against Cleveland, Tuesday at home against the Knicks, Thursday at home against the Warriors. That's the portion of the schedule that should start to tell you something in the early season. The eye test, what we see on the court as well, how much growth have we seen from this team? And, you know, going back to the offseason, as John Horst pointed out several times, wasn't a huge sample size, not the size you would ideally like to look at in terms of your decision making, but we believe in what we saw in that sample size. That sample size being the final eight games of the regular season, the playoffs as well, with the group, the starters that you had, without Damian Lillard for all intents and purposes. But this starting five you're rolling with now when healthy and no Miles Turner, you loved the numbers that you saw from that group. You believed in that. Now you want to really lean into it. This early portion of the schedule is your proof of concept there, and your area where you can see, okay, what we believed in, we're starting to see it. And I think you've seen patches of that through each of these first two games to start the season for the Bucks. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. We will take a look ahead to that game with the Cleveland Cavaliers as we move through the show a little bit later. Cleveland, by the way, is in a tight one right now with the Brooklyn Nets. We'll keep you updated on that score. But some more of the positives that we saw from this game tonight. We mentioned specifically Giannis and Cole Anthony, how we've seen this group fit with Giannis through two games, and this bench group, and the different ways, the athleticism that this Bucks team has. I've seen a few people ask one question that I think it's hard not to think the answer is yes to. So we'll pose that question to the audience and take a look at the rest of the second unit and the strength we've seen from this Bucks team coming up after this on Bucks Talk.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
.122 to .116 final in Toronto. Bucks beat the Raptors behind 31 points and 20 rebounds from Giannis. It was Giannis' seventh career 30-point, 20-rebound game. Ironically enough, or coincidentally, I should say, the last time he did that was in January of 2023 against the Raptors. Had 30 or more points and 20 or more rebounds. You could see as the game progressed, number one, the Raptors did not have an answer for Giannis, and no team truly does. But as this game went on, Giannis just became, and I think you heard Doc Rivers say it after the game as well, he just leaned into being the playmaker and setting up his teammates for open looks. The question that I said I've seen posed a number of times already, and I think, you know, we just had the conversation about sample size and needing to see more to have a lot of confidence in something. But I do think two games is enough to really, truly say the answer to this is yes. And that is this the most athletic Bucks team that you've surrounded Giannis with? You know, I mean, you think back through the years, some of those teams when this group was younger, you certainly had athleticism in your top guys. But especially towards the tail end of the Bucks championship contention window, you were leaning into veterans and that experience. And with that, it cost you a lot of areas in terms of athleticism, speed and quickness, youth, right? You think about how much you relied on guys like a Joe Ingles. I know guilty as charged. Been accused of supporting Brook Lopez and Chris Middleton and hanging on too much. I think I will acknowledge we probably ran that a little bit too long, like 1 year longer than you should have. But it was just one of those things that stood out, especially last year. The last couple of years, when you start to see some of these teams on the ascent in that series against the Pacers 2 years in a row, you could just see, like, this is a completely different sport. The way the Pacers are playing, the athleticism that the Bucks have. Two games, 96 minutes of basketball that we've seen from this Bucks team, it's a much different group. You know, like it's a marked difference night and day with the athleticism that you're seeing on the floor, the activity. And I think I'd go as far as saying this is a game the Bucks lose last year. The way the Raptors brought it in the first half, the Raptors were the more physical, more aggressive team. And those are spots where we saw the Bucks kind of wilt the last 2 years. If you can't keep up with the athleticism and if this team is just not going to go away and they're the aggressors, the Bucks struggled with that. You know, I wouldn't say they were front runners the last couple of years, but they struggled playing from behind. And, you know, who knows? Maybe things change dramatically starting Sunday. But it just feels like a much different team. It's a much more modern team that the Bucks have with this athleticism, with the quickness. And it's a team that just has different ways to come at you. You know, you had seven double-digit scores in the season opener, and we mentioned, hey, two of those guys that were not double-digit scorers were Cole Anthony and Bobby Portis. And we thought they both, Cole Anthony, I should say, had a good game. It was just foul trouble that plagued him in that game against the Wizards. Well, tonight, both of those guys were double-digit scorers. They were your only two double-digit scorers off the bench. You know, you can see what a Cole Anthony is going to provide to you throughout the course of the season with a guy that has playmaking ability. And Doc talked about that after the game, too. Like, people know Cole Anthony can score. That's what they think of you as. By the end of the year, I want people to think of Cole Anthony as a more rounded player. Is Cole Anthony the guy that can score, can start if we need to, can score off the bench, but the guy that's also a passer and a playmaker? That's what you saw tonight. 23 points, got to the free throw line seven times. Got to make more than three of those. And that was, you know, one of the other stories of this game for the Bucks. In the first half, it was turnovers, way too many of them. 13 of them. And we talked about it on the pregame show. Watch the turnovers tonight, because it's a Raptors team that's aggressive. That's how they want to score. They want to pressure the ball, cause turnovers, get out and run. They're not going to take and make a lot of threes. They're going to take mid-range shots. They're going to try to win track meets. So you can't turn the ball over against this Raptors team. And it's kind of like, you know, I'm going to be curious, too, if we see the Bucks kind of employ this as the season moves on here. But the way the Raptors play defensively and watching that game against the Hawks the other night, it's kind of like the Seattle Seahawks from years ago, the Legion of Boom defense, where they'll just maul you every single play. And it's the old adage of like, well, they're not going to call everything. That's how the Raptors play defensively. They are in your jersey. They're physical with you. They're the ones that are the aggressors and initiating everything. And part of it is, well, they're not going to call everything. Part of it is to also show you, look, this is how we're playing every single play. So maybe we're going to foul. Maybe you're going to blow the whistle two trips down the court. But like, we are showing you this is what we're going to do every time. Part of that is maybe you'll start to get those calls or lack thereof and the whistle is not blown. The other part of it is just to tell your opponent, get used to it. This is how we're playing. I do think the Bucks have some capability to do that as well. But that's what made this all the more impressive. You were on the road. You didn't have your starting point guard. You had some of those moments where it did feel like. I know the Raptors' largest lead was seven, but there were moments where it felt like, okay, we got to be careful here because another turnover, another made shot by Toronto, this feels like a spot where you could lose hold of the rope, and the Bucks never did. And they turned it around, and in the second half, they were the ones that were the more aggressive team on both ends of the floor. Cole Anthony was a big part of that. Bobby Portis was a big part of that in the second half as well. Finally got to see the ball go through the net, finished with 11 points. Giannis, obviously, with 31 points and 20 rebounds. But Ryan Rollins, I do want to talk about him a bit. And Gary Trent Jr., you know, you go back to last year, and we've had this discussion all through the offseason. We're going to have it the first two games of this season. We're going to continue to have it throughout the course of the season. Who's going to be the second leading scorer on this team? Tonight it was Cole Anthony with 23 points. You know, Doc said after the game on Wednesday, I don't know if we're going to know that by the end of the season either. And on Wednesday, it was Gary Trent Jr. with 17 points. Sunday, it might be somebody completely different. Sunday, it might be Bobby Portis. Sunday, it might be Ryan Rollins. Sunday, it might be Miles Turner. That's where this team is at. And you may have some skepticism and say, well, you got to have a consistent number two guy and guy that you know you can go to and rely on for he's going to score X amount of points. I don't know that anymore. This was the leading scoring duo in the league last season, Giannis and Damian Lillard. And really, the last two seasons combined. Look what it got you. I know health is a big part of that. But there were just many, many trade-offs. The pace that you played at, the way that teams could kind of say, okay, this is a your turn, my turn, so here's how we're going to scheme against this guy, here's how we're going to scheme against that guy. It's much more wide open. I would like a more proven second guy consistently. Sure, anybody would, but maybe we'll get that by the end of the year. You know, internally, growth from players on this team. But it's a tough team to defend as long as the ball is moving. And you know, to that point, there's some eye-popping numbers from game one against the Wizards that back that up. that make you even more eager and anxious to see Kevin Porter Jr.'s return? You wish you would have had it certainly tonight, but certainly Sunday against the Cavaliers, which we know will not be the case. Maybe you can get him against the Knicks in a big game on Tuesday. But there's some numbers that back it up. Again, the small sample size, but hey, I'm starting to see what you're talking about here with this group and how difficult they potentially could be to defend. We'll share those numbers and touch on yet another ankle injury that pops up for this team. We'll do so after this on Bucks Talk.
The Round Ball Repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
.122 to .116 final in Toronto. Bucks beat the Raptors. They're 2-0 to start the season. Cavaliers won, outlasting the gritty and game Brooklyn Nets tonight. So Cleveland gets in the win column, 131 to 124. It got tight. It got down to a single possession in the final 3 minutes of this game. Cleveland led by as many as 25. They are playing without Darius Garland. Without Max Strus as well. So you're starting backcourt tonight, and no DeAndre Hunter tonight either. So Jalen Tyson got the start. Sam Merrill starting next to Donovan Mitchell as well. I'm not sure the status of DeAndre Hunter, but we know the previous two, the first two names mentioned, will not play Sunday against the Bucks. So you will be catching them without Darius Garland and without Max Strus. The Orlando Magic blew a big lead to the Atlanta Hawks in a game that wrapped shortly after ours, 111-107 final. So both of those teams are 1-1, and the Knicks just went final. Knicks beat the Celtics. Boston's 0-2 now to start the season. I mean, we point out the record. It's 2 out of 82 games, so there's still plenty of time left in the season. You know, look no further than last year. When the Bucks started the season 2-8, still made the playoffs, albeit for a third consecutive year, we're bouncing in the first round. But I remember we talked about this at the time, late last season. You know, if it weren't for that 2-8 start, if you would have gone 6-4, which is basically the win pace the Bucks were at throughout the course of the season, if you would have done that in the first 10 games of the season, you're the 3 seed. So these games matter, right? It's still early. It's still 1 of 82, but they matter, and they leave that type of lasting impact potentially. So as of this moment, the Bucks and the New York Knicks are tied for first place in the Eastern Conference, the two unbeaten teams in the East. You did unfortunately see another injury in this game. We did not hear anything from Doc Rivers about this one yet. Still very early. It's going to be interesting to monitor and see what the status is for Kyle Kuzma for Sunday, because, again, you'd love to have as many of the bigger wings as you could, even if there's no DeAndre Hunter and some of those pieces. Max Strus aren't there. You got more defensive versatility, and I think it's important to point this out, too. Kyle Kuzma is the name we're talking about, left the game with an ankle injury. If there's any solace to take in this, it's at least he didn't roll his ankle on his own teammate like Kevin Porter Jr. did. But I think it's important to keep an eye and note this injury to Kuzma, because what did we see in the fourth quarter of this game? Or what did we not see, I suppose I should say? And that's A.J. Green. I don't think it was A.J. Green showing that he was unplayable or anything along those lines. I think it was basically, it came down to A.J. or Gary Trent Jr. One of these two guys with Cole Anthony, that's what we can go with on the court to close this out, because of the size of the Raptors and the fact that either R.J. Barrett or Brandon Ingram, throughout the course of that game, they were targeting A.J. And we've seen this all through last season, two teams, and players are going to look at A.J. Green. That's going to be who they pick on and target, I think, for the obvious reason. More often than not, you see A.J. Green holds up, and it's going to take some time for teams to realize, okay, maybe that's not the guy to go at. But he wasn't getting those calls early, and just the size made it a challenge. The size of Brandon Ingram, the size of R.J. Barrett. A.J.'s your three, right? And he's an undersized three at that. If you're playing with Ryan Rollins, A.J. Green, and Gary Trent Jr. on the floor at the same time, A.J. Green's your small forward. He's a 6'4" small forward. He's given up length. He's given up wingspan to whoever he's going against defensively. So I think as you saw this game move on and the Raptors creating those opportunities, that's what the fourth quarter was. That's why we didn't see A.J. Green in the fourth quarter, because it was just one of these two guys can play. And I don't think A.J. Green had a bad game. He was 3 of 5 on threes. He was a +8 in the plus minus. Gary Trent Jr. was actually a minus, but Gary Trent Jr. finished with 20 points. And I think you can certainly argue A.J. provides more spacing, but Gary Trent Jr. is more of a willing shooter and a guy that can create his shot for himself more so than A.J. Green can. So doesn't necessarily tell you this is going to be the case throughout the course of the season, but let's at least keep an eye on that. And it ties together with Kyle Kuzma, because if Kyle Kuzma is going to miss any time, you know, we've already seen one of the solves is, okay, we got to go to one of those types of guys on the floor. We've seen a handful of those possessions in lineups with Giannis, Miles Turner, and Kyle Kuzma already this season. So it's clearly something Doc Rivers likes and wants to go to with this size, that not just Doc, a lot of teams are leaning into size. If he's going to miss time, that just takes one more club out of the bag for the Bucks. So I don't imagine we'll hear anything on Kyle Kuzma for another day or so, but that's going to be one to keep an eye on. Maybe not so much Sunday against the Cavs, but definitely against the Knicks team on Tuesday when you look at their perimeter. Mikal Bridges, OG Anunoby, Karl Anthony Towns, not so much the perimeter, but just the size of the Knicks. It's where those types of players, the size of Kyle Kuzma, you'd love to have them available. So hopefully the Bucks can start to get some good news here on the injury front for both KPJ and Kyle Kuzma. We know Kevin Porter Jr. will not play Sunday against the Cavaliers, but when does his availability begin? Is it Tuesday against the Knicks? Is it maybe Thursday against the Warriors, or is it beyond that? That's what we're still waiting to find out, and that's why you really hope this Kyle Kuzma thing doesn't extend any further. 855-616-1620, the Signing Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. We'll take a look at the rest of the games being played tonight and some of the other big performances, including one that maybe didn't stand out in the box score, but I think you saw the impact as this game went on. We'll get into that coming up after this.
The Hardwood Homilies continue after this. This is Bucks Talk.
At 122-116, our final in Toronto. Bucks beat the Raptors. A very, very good win for this team. A solid win, I'll go as far as saying. A Raptors team that I think is going to be a playoff team. We said at the top of the show, a lot of people picked the Raptors to finish in front of the Bucks, and they started with an impressive win Wednesday night against the Atlanta Hawks. So you go on the road, you beat that team without your starting point guard and overcoming some deficiencies, certainly in the first half with the turnovers. Not a great shooting night either for the Bucks. I mean, that's something that we did not point out yet, but it's worth mentioning. The Bucks shot 35%. It wasn't, you know, ice cold, but 35% shooting from the outside, and you're able to just grind out this win. Now, we've seen, 84 three-point attempts in these two games to start the season for the Bucks. So tonight it was basically 45% of your field goal attempts were threes. I believe that was roughly the same number on Wednesday against the Wizards. And that was the interesting thing. Like, I don't think any coach is going to come out and say, we want to take X amount of threes per game. You're going to look at it by, we want this percentage of our field goals to be threes, the attempts at least. And in preseason, the Bucks were taking over 50% of their shots from three. It was what the Bucks, the Rockets, the Celtics, and the Grizzlies, There was four teams that did that, that were 50% or better. It was just under 40 last year. So that was the thing I was most curious about with their offense. What number is that going to sit at? I don't think it's going to be 50%. You know, other than the Celtics, nobody does that. But 45, like, is that safe to assume? And that's where it's basically been so far. You got good looks tonight, too. They just didn't drop. And that was the other thing we heard from Doc after the game. Like, we're going to have games where they are dropping, where we're hitting 50% plus from the outside, and we're getting these quality of looks. They're going to start to fall. It wasn't tonight, and still you found a way to win. Cole Anthony was a big reason for that. Some late clutch shooting from Gary Trent Jr. And again, that's something we saw consistently from him last season, too. You think about certainly his two big playoff games, but some big games down the stretch of the season as well. Gary Trent Jr. routinely and consistently was the guy hitting the biggest shots for you. So he was fantastic in the fourth quarter. Kyle Kuzma, too. It's a shame that you lost him to that ankle injury, because I thought Kyle Kuzma had a really solid game. 4 of 5 shooting, 8 points, 3 rebounds. Bobby Portis started to find his offense, too, had a sequence of a couple of big rebounds for you. So you're starting to see the versatility of this group and how they can play different ways. One of the names we did not mention yet, who I thought, once again, was good. And, you know, if you're just studying box scores, you're going to look at the first two games and you're going to say, are we sure? Are we sure you'd say he's good? And are we sure we should have paid this much money for Miles Turner? But yes, we are sure. I thought Miles Turner was very good once again tonight in finding ways to impact the game. Just 4 points. Stop me if you've heard this before, from me especially, talking about Brook Lopez. But Miles Turner found ways to impact the game without scoring. Now, took 8 shots, took 3 threes. I do think it's fair to say we need to see more of both from Miles Turner. But he played within the flow of the game. And as you've noticed through preseason and these first two games of the regular season, we heard some of his teammates and coaches talk about this in the lead-up during training camp as well. One of the biggest things that Miles Turner has brought with him is change itself, that he's basically been an agent of change for the Bucks. Play style, the pace, he's been a guy as a big that's getting up and down the floor, that's running the length of the floor and creating those fast break opportunities. He's moving without the ball. He's moving the ball. We've seen that through two games, that it just, the offense works a little differently with Miles Turner on the floor. His passing ability, too, I think it's better than many of us anticipated. And things like outlet passes that Miles Turner himself will throw, but has urged his teammates to look for and to throw themselves. Those are big, big parts of the offense that just weren't there. You know, not just last year, not just the last 2 years. This isn't a Damian Lillard-specific thing. The Bucks just kind of got set in playing a certain way. And part of that comes with the age of the group. You're a slower-paced team. You're going to play a certain way when you got Dame, when you got Brook Lopez, when you got Chris Middleton. Even if you have the best transition player in the history of the game, you're going to play at a certain pace. You're going to play a certain style. And it's not what we're seeing the league evolve into. Miles Turner isn't single-handedly changing that, but I think Miles Turner so far has had probably the biggest impact in ushering the Bucks into the direction they need to get in. And I thought that stood out once again tonight. Now, it's going to be interesting to kind of monitor throughout the course of the season how Doc Rivers, if he does, decides to stagger Giannis and Miles Turner, because so far we've seen a lot of stretches where you've got both on the floor or you've got neither on the floor. And I know a few people have pointed this out too, like, well, when Giannis and Miles Turner are off the floor, man, what stands out about this Bucks bench is you just have no rim protection. You know, yeah, but that's not anything new. And in fairness, I think Jericho Sims has shown he can be a rim protector, but you know, this is one of the things we're not talking about with a 2-0 start, and what we've seen from some of the other guys that we've named tonight is the quality depth that this group has, where, you know, Jericho Sims was the new shiny toy last year that we all loved and we certainly all saw promise in. And I think a lot of us were kind of talking ourselves into, is Jericho Sims the starting center of this group next season? He's buried on the bench because you got Miles Turner and Giannis and Bobby Portis. Andre Jackson Jr., we didn't know if he was going to make the team. He did. He started basically half of your games last season. He is clearly an impactful defensive player. Andre Jackson Jr., we're not seeing. But Chris Livingston was another guy we didn't see make the team. Amir Coffey made the team, but Amir Coffey tonight played 3 minutes. Gary Harris, one of the first free agent signings for the Bucks, did not play. It's the depth that this team has built up where we're talking about those guys, if you need to, and granted, you don't want to do it every single game in heavy minutes, but those are guys you can say, okay, we can throw them in the game and we trust them. It's not like Chris Livingston in the early going, Andre Jackson Jr. as a rookie, where it's, oh, we got to go with these guys because of the cap situation that we're in the second apron. We can only keep guys that are making the league minimum, and rookies are making even less than that. So that's who's making the roster. Sam Merrill was one of those guys, and he's developed into a starting caliber player now with the Cleveland Cavaliers. But you just have more quality, trustworthy depth on this group now as well. But Miles Turner was plus 12 in this game, in the plus minus, with 4 points scored, 3 blocked shots. So he's blocked 7 shots in his first 2 games here in a Bucks uniform. You've seen the rim protection. And again, you get the dual approach where the last, 7 years, it was Giannis and Brooke Lopez. Well, now it's Giannis and Miles Turner, but Miles Turner can give you a little bit more in terms of his versatility, his overall movement as well. As he said, he's not a drop big. He wants to pressure at the point of attack. He wants to get out there on the perimeter. He can switch a little bit. I'm not saying Miles Turner is going to be able to switch on every assignment, but it's just different than Brooke Lopez. So you still have that two-pronged approach, but you have one that gives you more versatility. And it's just enabled the defense to do so many different things. That's the area that still needs to show some improvement. I think that's fair to say. But I think there's something in there that this defense is going to continue to get better throughout the course of the season, especially as you get more size back when Kevin Porter Jr., hopefully quickly, makes his return. 12 games total being played across the league tonight. We've already seen a handful of them go final. There's a couple of very interesting games that are late and tight. So we'll update you on those scores and take a peek ahead to Sunday. Another big one, the Bucks and the Cavaliers on the road. We'll do so after this.
The Round Ball Repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
All right, so the Bucks 2-0 to start the season. 122-116, they beat the Raptors in Toronto. They play this game without Kevin Porter Jr. They lose Kyle Kuzma in the second half of the game. So now we wait for any updates on Kuz. We know KPJ will not play Sunday in Cleveland against the Cavs. Maybe you get him back next week, and next week you got 3 games, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. They're all at home. Tuesday against the New York Knicks. Thursday against the currently unbeaten Golden State Warriors. And then Saturday against the Sacramento Kings. That Kings game will be game number 6 on the season. I think if you can leave that game at 4-2, I think you feel really good about what you've seen so far, especially if, you know, we continue to stretch into the week with no Kevin Porter Jr. Obviously, anything beyond that would... that's gravy. Even 3-3. This is, I don't know offhand if this is going to be the most difficult 4 or 5 game stretch for the Bucks, but this is a challenging little stretch here that's banked in now. So even 3-3, I mean, we're talking about a team that started 2-8 last season. You're automatically feeling much better there. So look, if you can keep this rolling against the Cavs team that, as we mentioned, struggled to put away the Brooklyn Nets tonight. A lot of positives and foundational pieces to keep building here for the Bucks in the early going of the season. But the story from tonight, Giannis, 31 points, 20 rebounds. 7th time in his career he had 30 points and 20 rebounds in a game. 23 points off the bench from Cole Anthony, 20 points from Gary Trent Jr. We just mentioned the ways that Miles Turner impacted the game, even if his stats didn't pop. So this continues to be the story for the Bucks. Giannis is really good, and then you got a lot of pieces that kind of fit. And it changes game to game, quarter to quarter, about who's making the biggest impact or coming up with big plays. That's the way you've built out this roster. That's where we've seen other teams start to find success. And the Bucks are now getting on that train as well. We got 12 games being played tonight, and four of them have gone final. One of the teams you play next week, the New York Knicks, they beat the Celtics. The Cavs, as we mentioned, beat the Brooklyn Nets, so you get Cleveland on Sunday. Right now, the Pistons are up on the Houston Rockets, 103-101. That's about midway through the fourth quarter. Five games have gone final, I should say, as the Miami Heat just throttled the Memphis Grizzlies, 146-114. Bam Adebayo had 18 points in the opening quarter to start that game. He finished the game with 24 points. But Miami led that game by as many as 45 points, and they ended up winning by 42 in this one. Some intriguing games on the schedule. The Timberwolves and Lakers just tipped off in Los Angeles. Spurs and Pelicans are headed to overtime. Victor Wembanyama in his first game of the season dropped 40 points. So far tonight in his matchup with Zion Williamson, Victor Wembanyama has 27 points, 11 rebounds, and 8 blocked shots. So he's approaching a triple-double. Zion, by the way, with 23 points. The Utah Jazz with an impressive win over the Clippers on opening night. They're in Sacramento to take on the Kings. And then you got the Warriors in Portland. And we'll wrap the show with these thoughts. So the Warriors are the first team to reach three games. They're looking to stay unbeaten three games into the season at 3-0. That game just tipped. You get a back-to-back this early in the season, and it's in Portland. I don't know what to make of the situation that unfolded yesterday. I mean, we've all rushed out to the take of you brought this on yourself with the gambling and how much we're seeing the league lean into partnerships with gambling sites. I don't think it's quite as simple as that. I also don't think it's as, well, actually, they were able to catch this because of X, Y, and Z, and you know, the partnership with gambling, that if you're going through a legal service, you can catch these types of things happening. I do think it's interesting, and I don't know what it means for a different investigation that's going on, but I do find it very interesting that the league cleared Terry Rozier. And months later, Terry Rozier is named in this indictment and arrested. Now, I understand the FBI has a little bit different scope and more reach than the National Basketball Association does, but I don't know what that does for your confidence level of any type of punishment that would be doled out to the Los Angeles Clippers for what they're being investigated for. I don't think this is the end of this story. I think you would be foolish to assume it's just this with the figures that have been indicted and arrested, and I think you would be foolish to assume it's just the National Basketball Association. So how Adam Silver handles this in many ways may define his reign as the commissioner of this league. It started with a massive positive in his handling of the Donald Sterling situation. And I think it's been spotty at best since then. When you think about All-Star games that have been an annual tradition of changing the approach of the All-Star game, looming talk of expansion, and not only expansion in, you know, the U.S., but expansion into European countries, changes to your CBA and how you've really changed how teams are built on the fly, like, for as much good as we've seen, and there's been a lot of good, to be clear, the NBA Cup, the play-in tournament, these are all things that did not exist 10 years ago that I think have made the sport and this game better and more interesting throughout the course of the season. But this one is certainly one that I don't think any of us anticipated anything like this, even dating back to when we first heard at the dawn and the eve of free agency that Malik Beasley was being investigated. You know, you said, well, I don't think it's just one player. Yeah, I don't think we thought it was this, where you get to a current coach. And that's why we mention it with this Warriors-Blazers game. I don't think any of us envisioned a current head coach involved in any of this either. So it's going to be something that's there for quite a while that is going to be unavoidable and that none of us are going to have any answers on. It's going to be a slowly developing story. Same with the investigation into the Clippers, by the way. But, boy, we have certainly not been void of any storylines all throughout the summer and now the start of the season here. Sunday afternoon, Bucks head to Cleveland, a spot they could not win last year. They had an early game against the Cavs last year as well. And you could see in the early going, man, Cleveland feels like maybe it's just the Bucks are struggling. Maybe the Cavs are out kicking their coverage a little bit. But, man, that team feels like they're in a different spot than we are. And that held throughout the course of the season. So this game Sunday does not make your season, but it is going to be a nice little test for this group to see, okay, this is a team that dominated us last year. How does this new version of the Bucks stack up against this version of the Cavs? Sunday afternoon, 5 o'clock tip-off, 4:30 is when our pregame coverage begins. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We will talk with you then.